We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiner. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you. Here we are at the Commonwealth Institute in Kensington, London, with My Music. My colleagues in the two competing teams being John Amis and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John, you start us off, if you will. Can you tell me the name and the nationality of the man who composed this Romanian rhapsody?
I think he was the greatest musician I've ever met in my life.
Oh, you met
taking
him?
Taking them all in all. George Enescu.
Yes, teacher of Menuhin.
Teacher of Menuhin, wonderful violinist himself, a marvellous conductor, and a composer perhaps not quite so good. If I may drop a name, Arthur Rubinstein told me a lovely story. Enescu was living in his flat in Paris. There was a knock at the door, and a man said, "I wonder if you remember me, George." He said, "Yes, of course, my old friend and benefactor from Romania. You did me a marvellous favour when I was a young man." "Good," he said, "because I want you to do me a favor. I have a son. He plays the violin. Will you teach him?" "Well, I'm busy, but I will." So he taught him. He was terrible. After 3 years, knock at the door. "George, I'm disappointed. I know it is the custom in Paris when a pupil gets to a certain state, the master puts on a recital for him. A little recital in a small room. He's not good enough. No, he's not quite ready for him. But, George, his aunts say he is wonderful." "All right, I'll put a recital on." So he takes the Salle Gaveau in Paris, and they put on a recital, and the bills are out. Fortnight later, knock, knock, knock at the door. "George, nobody's bought any tickets for my son's recital." "Ah, well, you see, overcrowded profession, unknown name. George, there is one thing that would fill the hall, if you would play the piano for him." "But," he said, "you know, I'm a violinist, I'm a conductor, I'm a composer. I'm not really a pianist, I do play the piano." "But didn't you play for the violinist Izai 2 years ago?" "All right, I'll put my name on the bill." Puts his name on the bill, sold out. Just going on to play, when Enescu says, "Now, who's going to turn the pages for me? I need somebody to turn the pages. Can you do it?" The man says, "I'm sorry, I haven't got my glasses with me this evening." "What about your colleague?" "Sorry, he doesn't read music." "Look, I've got to have a page turner. Go out into the audience and find one." So they go out into the audience, and the first person they see is the great pianist Alfred Cortot. "Maître, we have a problem. Do you have a pupil here who could turn the pages?" Looks around the audience and says, "No, I'm sorry, I don't. But look," he says, "I'm an old friend of Enescu's. I'll come and turn the pages for him." So he does. Figaro, the paper, 2 days later says, "A very curious recital took place 2 days ago. The man who was playing the piano should have been playing the violin. The man who was turning the pages should have been playing the piano. And maybe the personage playing the violin could have turned the pages."
Super story.
Lovely.
Enescu and the nationality?
Romanian.
Oh, Romanian, yes. Enescu is teacher of Menuhin. Frank, for you, a Paul Robeson record.
"Three little children are lying in bed. Two were sick and the other most dead. Send for the doctor said."
Frank, what was the doctor's advice?
"Well, my friend Liszt said to me..." that was Radio Liszt. "He said to me... feed the little children with shortening bread."
"Feed them children on shortening bread."
"Well, yes, that's right. That's give right. or take a syllable."
"That's right, yes." I still smile to myself and I recall a letter that a lady wrote to me from South Africa. Her very small son kept asking to hear the song about a lion in bed. And they finally traced it down. "Three little children, a lion in bed." Ian, your turn. Which emperor did a certain composer have in mind when he called this Beethoven's Emperor Concerto?
was playing that shouldn't have been turning the pages anyway.
It was Rubinstein.
Sometimes it's been said that he named it after Napoleon, but in fact he didn't. He certainly didn't do that, and he didn't name it himself.
That's the point. Yes,
I've always understood that it was his publisher, Mr. Cramer, who called it an emperor among concertos. Mm. And therefore got its name in that way. It certainly was nothing to do with Napoleon, because no. Beethoven was once at the wrong end of Napoleon's cannons in some town or other where the French army was shelling, and he was very, very angry with Napoleon. Yes. Would have never, by the slightest possible stretch of imagination, named it after
Napoleon. No, you've survived my trap question, haven't you? Trap question.
It could have been a trap. Yes.
It was a bit of a trap.
Knowing you, Steve, I wouldn't know.
Anyway, the Emperor Concerto was actually dedicated to the Archduke Rudolf. Dennis, I'm going to play you an excerpt from a recording of the Nutcracker Suite. Bearing your musical knowledge in mind, I want from you, please, the name of the composer and the name of the arranger. Listen.
Well, I don't know if you remember a band called Les Brown and his Band of Renown.
Les Brown and his Band of Renown.
Well, they recorded a song called Everybody's Making Money But Tchaikovsky. A vocalist, Betty Bonney, on it. And so that was Tchaikovsky. And I recognize the absolute virtuoso playing of the Swanee Whistle must have been Spike Jones.
Yes, Spike Jones' arrangement. It could have been worse. It could have been arranged by Ken Russell, couldn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it might have been one of Leopold Stokowski's rather more colourful arrangements.
Yes, that crossed my mind.
You're veering that way sometimes.
Well, you didn't cross it, actually. It sort of peeped in.
Now for some musical instruments, singly or in groups. John, can you give me an example of a broken consort?
Yes.
Prince Albert.
Supposing you had three tubas and an ocarina.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be a pretty well broken down consort.
Yes, it would, because you'd have a consort of, what was it you said, tubas.
Well, if you had four tubas or four ocarinas, you'd have an unbroken consort.
Yes, the exception to a whole consort, like all strings are all wind instruments. Frank, in the year 1454, there was a banquet.
Yes, I remember.
Pay attention, it's a long question, this. There was a banquet at Lille in which 28 musicians appeared inside a huge castle made of pastry. One wonders which tune they were playing, and I thought you might perhaps be able to make a shot at which tune they were playing. 28 musicians in a pastry castle. What were they doing?
If they were in an egg, it would be Melody in Earth. I would have thought the flower song from Carmen.
Yes. How about Blackbirds?
No, not Blackbirds.
Blackbirds.
One rather worries about the chap who, in whose honour this was done.
Yes,
because normally when things are baked into a cake, when human beings are baked into a cake, they emerge as sort of nude chorus girls. And this poor king sitting there with expecting nude chorus girls, and the pastry breaks away, and there's 28 elderly musicians.
I thought.
Once again, I seem to get that old filling.
Ian, there's a nice musical moment in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales where the scholar Nicholas describes how the lady lovesome of hue and hide set her down by his bedside. She laid a psalter upon her knee, and thereon she played full lovesomely. What would we now call a psalter?
Yes. First it sounded a bit like... One night she came to my bedside when I lay fast asleep.
Yes.
She laid it on her knee.
Yes, that's right.
Can't be a piano.
No.
Yeah.
It sounds like
It's nothing she blew, then. She
didn't blow. She would pluck it, I should think. Pluck it. Or strum it, even.
Well, it's a sort of mini harp.
Yes, sort of. If Psalter was spelt with a P-S on the front, you can probably get the derivation.
Oh, Psalter.
Psaltery, yes, or conceivably the dulcimer.
I've never been absolutely sure what a psalter was, to be honest.
Yes, that's right. Psaltery being plucked and a dulcimer struck. Derived from it, too, is the zither, and even, you might say, the harpsichord.
The sitar is something similar, isn't it, or is it not?
Well, it's a long way away, isn't it?
You get the baby sitar, which is a...
Dennis, can you give me an example of a bass racket?
Well, the only one that occurs to me was in the days of variety when dance bands used to tour. They very often used to end up in digs where no girls were allowed in the rooms. Now, I am assured that, or was assured, that one of the ways to smuggle them out was in a double bass case. Because apparently a double bass case, you can store anything up to size 32 bus. And that was one of the best bass rackets that that I knew.
What is it? Do you
know? No. You didn't even know what Psalter was, did you?
No. I was just thinking it was something you... Somebody like me would play tennis with.
You've reminded me, Dennis, that just
that's
after...
Right. It's Paul Robeson's tennis.
Or overcharging for singing the bottom line in The Messiah.
Actually, bass racket... a bass racket is a sort of thick recorder in appearance. It's like a sort of kaleidoscope fed by a thin blowing tube, if you know what I mean by that. No. I'm going to turn now to my mighty pre-electric Wurlitzer here and play a piano medley, one for John and Frank and the other medley for Ian and Dennis. There's six tunes, they go by rather quickly, and a chance to pick up six marks. So here's, for John and Frank, my first medley. Got on, John, Frank. Six.
What was that first one again? Yes. At first I thought it was an enigma.
It is a bit.
I'm sure it is.
Yes, it's from the
Enigma Variations.
Enigma Variations by Elgar. Yes, that's one mark. The next one,
Invitation to the Dance.
Yes, by Weber. I then came.
A Pêche dance.
Yes, that's right.
It's a French piece.
That is known as the dance for a Pêche dance, yes. Or,
thank you very much.
Do you know, happen to know, John, who did write it or who used it, a semi-classical piece or operetta?
That piece? No.
Offenbach.
Le
Roi Carotte. The Carotty King. You've got that. Three more, please. I played.
Four. What are you doing with four? Nothing from the audience at all. You don't get it. Is that one that goes?
No, it's the one that goes. Can't hang about.
That's not Elgar again, is it?
No, Schön Rosmarin. Schön Rosmarin by Kreisler.
Oh, yes.
Two more, please.
Vibe toy for it. It's Espana.
Yes.
Then I think Valteufel.
Well, yes, that's why I was stalling a bit. Chabrier's Espana, but it also appears in that, what's it called, that long word by Valteufel.
Estudiantina.
Estudiantina, yes, I shall give you that mark. Because it's certainly from Espana, and you've got that. And then finally,
it's a Turkish march.
Five out of six.
musician.
And a second medley, this time for Ian and Dennis. Did we fare?
Well, the first one is if you go in, you're sure to win.
Yes, etc. It comes from
Ailanthi.
Ailanthi, yes. Then came.
I give my heart just to one man, loving as only a woman can.
Yes, from the Debarry. The Debarry, yes, that's right. Yes, four more if you get them.
Love is all. Love is all. Love is all.
Love is all. Love is all. Love is all. Love is all.
Then you did a very, very crafty switch. You played practically nothing of either one, but I think it was "Good Night, Irene" and "Hi Lily, Hi Lily."
Hi Lily, hi Lo. Yes,
well done. Yeah, do that bit again because that was very smart.
How kind of it was. Yeah,
it's hardly right. That
one. Devilish.
And the last one.
I've got, well, it's either Casey would dance or, and the band played on.
The band played on, the Strawberry Blonde song. Six out of six. Right, we press on. Someone reviewing a new opera encyclopedia said how good it was, but then they added, not even so ingenious a contributor as Julian Button could cram the plot of Il Trovatore into six lines. And that set me wondering how you would get on with doing very, very condensed opera plots, gentlemen, in a limited amount of time. In fact, in 6 seconds, I thought. You'll hear first some music from the opera or show concerned while you assemble your thoughts. And then, when the music cuts off, in you come. After 6 seconds, a cymbal crash will cut you off. So while the music's playing, think about the plot and then deliver it in 6 seconds. John, you first. The plot of Der Freischütz in 6 seconds from when the music stops.
Max gets the bullet.
Why not? Yes, you beat our symbolist. Yes, marked you. Frank, a bit of music introducing Kiss Me, Kate, and then the plot from you in 6 seconds.
A troop of strolling players are we.
Boy meets shrew, boy loses shrew, due to friends, boy, triumph, hope of experience, rejoin shrew.
Very near. We give him a mark, I think, don't you? Yes, very nearly done, yes. I thought you might just say The Taming of the Shrew. Fair enough. Ian, 10 seconds of pirate pouring, and then the plot, please, of The Pirates of Penzance. Go.
25 daughters of fertile Major General get involved with pirates who turn out to be members of the House of Lords.
You hardly missed out so much as a bit of subplot.
Well, I never managed to mention the police.
No, that's true. Dennis, with 6 seconds to go, as the others did, I work it out that you have just under a second to explain each bride and each brother in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Going courting, oh, with that your senses in a whirl. Going courting, going courting, dudin' up to go and see a girl.
Inspired by legend of Sabine women, kidnapped girls, all live happily ever after. Bless your beautiful hide. No,
whatever happened to Lonesome Polka?
I know.
Couldn't get it in. You all did very well. Fine. In the final round this week, we have four songs, all of them about girls. John, a song about a milkmaid.
Yes. I should just like to point out for the Cognoscenti, this is the only folk song I know where the person singing the song gets so struck by emotion that he goes into another key altogether.
Really? I'll do your best, lad.
Dennis has done that song before now.
You're stealing my best trick.
It was early one fine summer's morning when the birds sat and sung odd in each bough. I heard a young damsel thus singing that an air she sat milking her cow. She sang with a voice so melodiously that I could scarce bear to go, for my heart it was smothered with sorrow by that pretty girl milking her cow.
Chommel. Very nice. Mm. Frank, Miss Worthington is considering a stage career. Have you any advice for her mother?
Excuse me.
Yes, certainly. Have a quick sip. Shall I give you a chord of E flat?
Well, I'm not quite sure of the lyrics, actually. I'm trying to write them out. Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. She's a bit of an ugly duckling, you must honestly confess, and the width of her seat would surely defeat her chances of success. It's a loud voice, though it's not exactly flat. She'll need a little more than that to earn a living wage. On my knees, Mrs. Worthington, please, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage.
As in so many of those Noel Coward songs, the tune that goes on underneath that is perfectly lovely. Can I just play you a little bit of the tune that, you know...
Feel free.
May I do that? You know? It goes... Sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
How nice that this... He did the same with a song called Chase Me Charlie, which is just a silly song about cats, but it's got a lovely little tune behind it.
Next week, you play and I'll just watch. Much better.
And then give you the marks. Yes. Dennis, Daddy bought her piano for 10 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And...
Are you going to come in on this?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're not going to play an entirely different tune underneath.
Not with you, Dennis.
No. Where are you? I'm wearing second-hand hats, second-hand clothes. That's why they call me second-hand Rose. Even our piano in the parlor, Father got for 10 cents on the dollar. Second-hand pearls, I'm wearing second-hand curls. I never get a single thing that's new. Even Jake the plumber, he's the man I adore, had the nerve to tell me he's been married before. Everyone knows I'm just a second-hand rose from Second Avenue. I think I lost £3.
Yes. Our most successful partnership.
I think so, yeah. Stick with me, Steve.
Ian, you're...
wearing mink suspenders.
Ian, your girlfriend comes from Argyll, and she's Bonnie.
And she's in E-flat, is she?
She is.
I have heard the mavis singing his love song to the moon. I have seen the dewdrop clinging to the rose jasmine. but a sweeter sound hath cheered me at the evening's gentle close. And I've seen an eye still brighter than the dewdrop on the rose. 'Twas thy voice, my gentle Mary, and thine artless winning smile that has made this world an Eden. Bonnie Mary,
to have you with us for this edition of My Music. You might just care to know that it's a victory by one mark, actually, for John Amis and Frank Muir. Good night.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Shrine.